Now it's my pleasure to introduce our speaker today. Peter Thompson joined the center in 1999. Resident of Charlottesville for more than 40 years, received his undergraduate degree from UVA and an MPA with a concentration in nonprofit management from VCU. He served from 2006 to 2012 on the National Institute of Senior Centers. That's NISC. Recently, he's worked with a small group of his peers to found the Virginia Association of Senior Centers. He was also served on the board of directors of the Charlottesville Regional Chamber of Commerce, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, and Madison House. He was a founding director for the Virginia Network of Nonprofit Organizations, serving 2 years as chair and on the Center for Nonprofit Excellence here in town. In 2010, the United Way Thomas Jefferson area selected Peter for Excellence in Nonprofit Leadership Award. Please put your hands together and welcome Peter to our stage. Well, we can't do that.
Thank you, and thank you all for coming. I'm a senior statesman member as well as a center member, and as the biography said, I'm very proud to be here as the executive director for now for over 20 years. I hear that 1999, I'm like, that's like last century. It seems like a while ago, but it's a very fulfilling place to work, a very challenging place to work because we're working with people in a rapidly changing environment, and certainly what we're talking about today is all about the fact that the face of aging in our country and our community is changing radically, really significantly, in so many different ways that we'll talk about. I do want to, I think there'll be plenty of time for discussion and questions and answers as well, so I will certainly encourage that. I do want to also share that the center is also very proud of this partnership. We talked about it for a long time, several years ago, when SSV used to meet in a variety of places around the community. It's so exactly synchronized with the center mission, which is about lifelong learning. It's about social engagement, and it's about civic engagement, which is very much what the senior statesmen of Virginia do. So it's a really a perfect fit. We're very proud to be opening our doors to this at no cost to the community. We do this at no rental fees. So your $20 goes right to SSV for all of its extensive administrative costs and expensive marketing and the big staff it has and that big expensive offices that it keeps and everything else that I know we keep a lean organization at Senior Statesmen. But it's a really good example of how the center, as a 501c3 organization owned by the community, serve the community. This building is a community asset. We are but stewards of this resource, so we open our doors to a lot of organizations at discounted services, sometimes discounted all the way to zero, depending on the organization's ability to pay. So thank you all for being here. Again, we'll have leave plenty of time for questions. And since it's a relatively small question, I'll go ahead. If something comes up while I'm talking, please just get my attention. We can stop in the middle if you have a question. I know if I have a question, if I don't think about it and get it off my lips right at the time, an hour later, I'll not remember what it might be. So please, let's just make this conversational. So, oh, it's interesting. I'm working on a different PowerPoint. So the Center of Belvedere is what we're talking about, not a different PowerPoint, but a different system. So I was looking at two different things on the laptop, and you're only seeing one up here. So I'm glad I've looked up here to see what you're seeing. So the center has been around for 60 years, and we've known for some time that we needed to build a new center. So you will refer alternately to the center. And sometimes I'll refer to the center at Belvedere, which is the building we're opening up next month. I am likely to still every once in a while slip into saying the senior center, because for 60 years we were known as that, and for 20 of those years that's what I referred to it, so I know that I sometimes still slip into that. They're all the same entity. So 1 in 5, what do you think that number means? Yeah, it's the audience participation part of the show. One in five members in the community are seniors. That's basically 1 in 5 households in Charlottesville, Albemarle have an adult of 60 years old or older in the household. And that number will continue to grow, and we'll show that in just a second. So several years ago, the center didn't just, you know, twiddling its thumbs one day, bored, say, gosh, what are we going to do in the future? Maybe let's build a great big new center. we very much were responding to community demands and needs and interests over the years and feedback from you all and many of your friends and neighbors, as well as looking at demographic information that we'll look at. But several years ago, actually about 12 years ago, we actually did market research to back up what we were hearing, and it very much did back up and said that, you know, the community is aging, it's changing, it's growing, and if you don't change radically, you're going to really have a hard time staying vibrant and active and relevant.
How does that compare to
nationwide? So the correct question is, how does that compare to nationwide? Charlottesville and Albemarle, so the Commonwealth, our globe is aging. America's aging more than most countries, not all, but most. Virginia is aging faster than most states in the country, not all. West Virginia, Massachusetts, a few other are rapidly changing more than us. And the Charlottesville-Albemarle area is aging faster than the Commonwealth of Virginia's overall. So it's a particularly acute issue in the Charlottesville-Albemarle area, and I'll show some numbers here in just a minute. So we did this market research 12 years ago that backed up and said, yes, you probably need to meet your mission. You need to change radically. So about 2 or 3 years ago, as we were getting closer to building at the center of Belvedere, our board wanted to do kind of a refresher and say, let's double check our assumptions, that research now almost 10 years old. Let's see really what the community says a little bit more. So we did two things. We did the same company, SIR, did some research, and we hired the Weldon Cooper Center at the University of Virginia, which I would bet most of you are very familiar with. I'm sure there's been Weldon Cooper people speak here as senior statesmen. It is the preeminent demographic study group in the Commonwealth of Virginia. The Commonwealth of Work uses their demographic data for all of its policy issues, as does every municipality in Virginia. So it's a very highly thought of, the number one demographic research organization in the Commonwealth. We retained them to do a study for us as well about 3 years ago, and this quote that I will read in case you can't from the back comes from the Weldon Cooper Demographic Group. An analysis of demographic and membership data, as well as conversations with area seniors, highlight the importance of the senior center, call for a broader expansive vision for the center, and makes the case for a modern, vibrant facility as the base of an ambitious outreach plan. So that's about after 20 pages of research report, that's kind of the summary that they said, basically, yes, you're on the right track. Our community needs something significantly different to meet the needs of our community going forward. So this is a little tricky to read, so I'll highlight some of this. This is for the entire region, our planning district, Charlottesville, Albemarle, Flavanna, Green, Louisa, and Nelson. This is defining the senior population as 65 and older. The center typically says 50 and above, but as you probably well know, our ARP uses 50. Some organizations use 60. Some say 62, 65, 67. This particular bar graph shows 65 plus, and the bars, so you can see, is from the year 2000, 2010, 2020, and 2030 from left to right. So in the year 2000, in our planning district, there was about 24,000 65-plus-year-old. It grew 32% by 2010, 75% to almost 43,000 people by today, and is projected to grow up to about 57,000 by the year 2030, and we are on track to that. So that's an over doubling from 24,000 to 57,000 in a generation, just in Charlottesville-Albemarle for 65 plus. So that gives you a sense of the scale of what we're talking about. Over 30,000 more individuals. That's almost the size of the city of Charlottesville was 5-10 years ago, of more older adults in our planning district. So this is the biggest demographic issue that Charlottesville-Albemarle faces, and the Weldon Cooper Center has said that. Albemarle County has said that. The city of Charlottesville is not aging quite as rapidly as Albemarle County is in the Commonwealth, but this is not something just that Peter Thompson and the center are saying. This is something our experts are saying is the biggest demographic issue that we face right here locally, not just globally. And importantly, we very much feel and believe and think it's important when we talk to community members like you. The aging of our population is not something just affects us starting at 50 or 65 or 85 or whatever you want to define older as. It's really something, like the center does not even talk about aging as this issue over here. Aging is really an issue that impacts everything. And as I often talk to, for example, like a Rotary Club, which is typically full of a lot of people that are in the workforce in a lot of different environments, I will often say, you may not be mindful of it, but the aging of our society is impacting your organization. And your organization is impacting how age-friendly our community is, whether you're mindful of it or not. It is something that impacts everything, and of course it impacts health care. People always think about health care, and it does. We need more doctors and nurses. We need more social workers. We need a lot of people to help care for an aging population. We need more nursing assistants. We need to pay our nursing assistants and a lot of people better, because they're going to be who's caring for many of us as we grow older. That's absolutely a significant issue. It certainly affects social services. A lot of what the center does is try to help provide programs and services so people don't end up having to be in nursing homes. And we'll talk about this a little bit later on, but in this context, the number one reason folks become dependent on others as we grow older is we lose our physical ability to care for ourselves. Sometimes it's the intellectual ability, of course, as well. And then social services have to step in, and our tax dollars, and somebody here might be able to quote a different figure to this to me, but what I've heard is it's roughly $100,000 a year for our tax dollars to pay for somebody who's in nursing care, full-skilled nursing care. We're all paying for that. The more we can keep people out of that, the better all of us can be. And I don't mean to denigrate. We have great senior living communities in our area, assisted living, independent living, nursing care. We're actually quite blessed, at least if you have the money. It's a little harder if you don't. But how many people woke up this morning and when you were doing your prayers said, gosh, I want to end up in a nursing home dependent on somebody else for my every need? You know, it's not really our ambitious for ourselves and each other, right? So certainly aging affects that, and we can prevent that more if we help take care of ourselves better and each other. But it becomes very much an economic development issue, too. Part of why the city of Charlottesville helped invest in the center at Belvedere, which we'll talk about later, was in at least one city council member's case, it was as an economic development strategy. Their personal focus was a belief that in the city, the biggest economic development opportunity is the high-tech, microbiology, these types of clean businesses that are paying well, that are growing a lot. But this individual also was very mindful of knowing that you can't put all your eggs in one basket, right? We learned that as youngsters, that we need economic development, needs to be a lot of things, and that the aging of our population actually helps economic development because us seniors are working, we're volunteering, we're shopping, we're patrons of the arts. We give more than we take, despite sometimes a stereotype of older adults. Certainly community planning. We're part of what's called the Charlottesville Area Alliance, working together for an age-friendly community with our friends at JABA, Martha Jeff, UV, City, County, Planning District, Health District, many other people. Because, as I said, if we don't plan for the aging of our population, it's going to be very hard to be an age-friendly community. We need to have better transportation. We need to have better workforce development opportunities for people who are older than 50 and are losing maybe the job they were trained for 40 years ago and need to have a new job. So it impacts our community planning. It very much impacts our workforce. I touched on the obvious people I always think of. We need more doctors, nurses, et cetera. But we also need more Tai Chi instructors and Spanish language instructors and fitness instructors and personal trainers and a lot of other things to help older adults stay healthy and stay well. And importantly, again, we need more people. Older adults need and want to work longer because we're living longer, and many of us, my generation, very few of us have fixed pensions. You know, if you live to your 60 or 65, the likelihood you live to your 90 is high. And, you know, are you going to retire at 62 and live 30 more years without a fixed pension after working all your life for a nonprofit and small business in Charlottesville? No, I'm not going to be retiring at 62. So we need to be able to create more work-friendly environments. My wife works at the Darden School. She's very blessed there. She has a plan that over 4 years she can phase into retirement. She's going from full-time to half-time next year. We need more of those types of opportunities in other fields to be able to have people phase into that work for many different reasons. So I could go on and on, but the point is that aging is something that impacts everything that we do. It's not just something that happens here at the Center and Senior Statesman of Virginia. So what the center is all about and what we need to be about more as a community is what we call the holistic wellness wheel. And this is research-based. This is a model that actually comes from the International Council on Active Aging based in Vancouver that we work very closely with. Because it shows what we can do to be able to be healthy and well. A generation ago, medical professionals typically estimated that about 70% of the quality and quantity of our later years were based on our genes. You know, luck of the draw. And about 30% was how well you took care of yourself. in a generation, most medical professionals now have totally flipped that and said that about 30% of your longevity and quality of life is about the luck of the draw of your genes, but about 70% of it is doing what you're doing today, coming out and being with your fellows, having purpose, volunteering, learning, staying active, engaged. So this is all about what the center's about and what our community needs to be about. And it's the seven dimensions of wellness, which is a lot of what you would expect, certainly physical, intellectual, environmental, educational, social, emotional, spiritual, and vocational. And all of those aspects, you can't just stay socially connected without continuing to stretch your mind. You can't not be physically active in some component. You don't have to run marathons, but you need to at least be walking and staying active. That all is what we need to do to age well. And what we know from research and our own experience here at the center is it promotes independence, which is, again, what we all want. Often when I ask a group of older adults, say, what is the biggest fear? People say the fear of being dependent on others, financially, intellectually, physically, whatever it may be. It's more cost effective. It's easier for family caregivers. I can tell you there was a stretch here at the center 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago where over half of our staff were dealing with elder care issues. And it was, we tried to be as family friendly as we could be to give people space to go care for people. My mother-in-law was across at Rosewood Village. She had early dementia that was advancing. Her dementia manifests itself in paranoia, fear, and anger. And they would call me at the drop of a hat and said, "We need help." And I would run across the street and try to help my mother-in-law manage her dementia and the people that were trying to help care for her. So we tried to do it, but it was extremely challenging having half your staff in a small organization constantly being pushed and pulled, missing work, doing that. We were honored and blessed to do that. It was the only thing to do, but it became a very big issue for a lot of folks being able to keep up with work and to be able to be a productive organization in the short term when people are out running around helping care for aging parents and in-laws. Reduced demand for social service, we already talked about. More volunteers. How many people here volunteer for an area nonprofit? I'm surprised it's not everybody. Some of you are just shy. So you find out if you're a volunteer, I'm going to ask you to volunteer at the center too. The volunteer power of our wisdom and experience giving back is a crucial component of healthy aging. I touched the wrong button, Jim. You told me not to, and I didn't look. I apologize. Yeah, I hit the... Thank you. So the center, and the vast majority of the pictures you see are center members. A few of them are not, but these are all center members. Many of you may know some of these folks doing some of the fun activities at the center. So we do programs that support active aging. That's what the center is all about. We partner with organizations like Senior Statesmen. We calculate that we give about $100,000 to $120,000 each year in free and discounted meeting space to area nonprofits like the Senior Statesmen. One of the many ways we give back. Space for community groups, community and civic engagement. I can't remember for sure how much we talk more about volunteering down the stretch here, so I'll talk about it now. Our center has about 500 volunteers active in about 50 nonprofits in our community, giving on average over 50,000 hours of volunteer service, about $1.4, $1.5 million of free labor given by our center volunteers to the center and scores of area nonprofits. That's what the center does. And we do try to raise awareness about aging issues. We're not truly an advocacy organization, like our friends at JABA, for example, or a Southern Environmental Law Center or other organizations that advocates core to our mission. It's not core to our mission, but it's something that we are doing more because it's hard for us to meet our mission if people don't understand the importance of aging. So we're now to, I think that even though we have a pretty wise audience here, we always feel it's important to kind of give a little groundwork of, it doesn't make sense why we're building a new $24 million center at Belvedere unless you kind of have an understanding of the demographics and some of the issues we feel. So we feel we'd like to be able to share some of that. So we'll talk now more about the center at Belvedere, which is the topic focus for today. Accessibility is very important for us. Again, we are a 501c3 nonprofit owned by the community to serve the community. So just like the Free Clinic or the SPCA or the Boys and Girls Club or the Salvation Army, we are the same legal structure owned by you all to serve you all. So accessibility is something that I feel we're legally responsible to, and I certainly feel ethically and morally responsible to. So we do have a scholarship program. 10 to 12% of our folks receive some, either partial or full, financial assistance with their membership dues and sometimes with program fees. And that's a honor system. All you have to do if you come in and say, I want to be a member and finance their barrier, fill out the form, and that's underwritten by other philanthropists help pay for that cost, just like it does at a college or a university or something like that. And our Welcome Desk volunteers are trained to keep an eye on that. If somebody is interested and then finds out that they're better, you know, about the dues, and you know, if they think that's a barrier, we have a confidential way to be able to address that. We do expect to have a CAT bus stop at the new center at Belvedere. For those who read the Daily Progress, you may have seen a letter to the editor a couple weeks ago saying that was in question. That was a truthful statement. Hopefully you saw my letter to the editor a week later saying there is some question, but we believe the city is going to fix the problem. I am now about 99% confident the city is fixing the problem. They have a plan. We have agreed to participate in the plan. It's pretty simple. There's a couple strings attached, but nothing that we felt was problematic. So we expect that by the time we open in April that a bus line, the CAT 11, will come right to our front door, because that's important. Yes, ma'am. Is there a plan to have a traffic light at the Belvedere Boulevard? There is not a plan to have a traffic light at the intersection at Belvedere. There was up until about 2 or 3 years ago. Let's see. Boy, this can be a con. I could fill you another hour. You've heard from the transportation people here recently. See if I can do this. Short version, as I understand it from our friends at VDOT in Albemarle County, is the best practice now is to actually limit putting in traffic lights. And that as I heard a VDOT representative very pointedly to my question say, it's actually state policy that unless it's absolutely mandated, that they are actually not good at moving traffic or moving traffic safely. Anecdotally, what I am told is because too many Americans run red lights. And so when you run red lights, the accidents become very problematic because people are moving fast and people are hurt seriously and killed often. So they are actually not, you'll notice they didn't put a traffic light out here when they built this road. They took the one out at Four Seasons Rio Road. So they believe that traffic lights are not typically the answer, and there are some science behind that. I questioned a little bit, but not the science of it, but I think science doesn't always have all the answers in that case. So they're not planning on the traffic light there. There are multiple ways in and out of Belvedere. I think it's important to note when you're saying this. You can get out through Dunlora, and if you live in Dunlora and didn't want me to say that, I apologize, but they are public roads designed to help allow a lot of ways for people to get in and out of areas. That's policy. That's why there's fewer cul-de-sacs in Albemarle County now. We want traffic to flow. So you can get out through Dunlora. You can get out across the Free State Bridge at the Fairview Swim and Tennis Club up into Northfields and that way. You can also turn right onto Rio Road and take a U-turn just up the road. All of that is legal public way to go. And more often than not, other than peak times, I find it fairly easy to get in and out of Belvedere. You know, I just drove over there at 1 o'clock today. Traffic was fine. At peak time, there are other ways to get in and out. The county is working on a fix that is less than a light that would make that U-turn safer. That would be much more complicated to try and explain, but that's the status right now. Thank you for asking. So you may have remembered the Weldon Cooper Center quote mentioned that the center at Belvedere would also be a hub for an ambitious outreach program. The center felt years ago when we decided to build a new center that we could not build a senior community center large enough for the greater Charlottesville Albemarle community that is now 160,000 residents and growing older, and geographically sprawls halfway to Richmond, 40 miles north and in every direction. We can't build one senior center big enough to meet all those needs. So our plan is very much to build the larger in the northern urban ring where more people live, work, and play, but then create more outreach out in the community. So it wouldn't be little senior centers like Starbucks on every corner all over Albemarle and Charlottesville, but the idea would be we would partner with other folks like JABA, County Parks and Rec, YMCA, ACAC, any number of people in different areas to deliver more of our programs at the Jefferson School City Center in Crozet and Rutgersville and Nellie'sford, something like that. So that is part of our longer-term plan for accessibility. And we are currently open 6 days a week, 56 hours a week. The new center will be open 7 days a week, almost 80 hours. almost about a 40% growth in program hours. That provides more accessibility for people who are in the workforce during traditional hours or in school or are caregiving for children or grandchildren or any number of reasons that the traditional Monday through Friday hours don't meet everybody's needs is part of how we aim to be more accessible. It very much plans to be more mixed use. We're very pleased to be a franchisee of Greenberries. How many folks go to Greenberries ever in town, down on Barracks Road or in Alderman Library? There's one at Martha Jeff, a couple people. It's locally owned and operated. They've been in business 20 years. It's made-to-order sandwiches, paninis, and whatnot, great coffee and tea and smoothies. We will also have beer and wine at our Greenberries, so you may imbibe in your beverage of choice. And that will be open as when we're open, Greenberries is open. It's right in as soon as you walk in the door. The center is open to all ages. We will focus on healthy aging for people age 50 and better, but anybody can come in. We will obey state law. We won't be serving 16 years old a glass of wine, but it is an accessible place designed to be open for everybody, and the Greenberries becomes a very nice place to be able to be that community hub to break bread with your fellows. There's plenty of cafe seating in the building, in the back terrace, and the front patio as well. Much better meeting, event space, performance space. We'll talk more about that. Partnerships, we'll share a little bit more. And I certainly want to focus a little bit on the Sentara Family Medicine. We're very pleased with that partnership as well. It is a full market rent agreement. Every once in a while somebody asks why we're giving so much more space to Sentara. We are not giving them anything. They're paying market rent. So it generates some significant revenue that can underwrite the cost of our programs. But the first and foremost reason Sentara and us wanted to work together, healthcare is trying to move in the best of their ability, being a big, monstrous, complex world, into actually doing healthcare instead of treatment disease treatment. I mean, that's really the difference. I mean, fundamentally, they're trying to move to try to keep us well to begin with instead of waiting for you to get sick and then cost us a bunch of expensive tests to care for each other. And I don't mean to be judgmental about that. It's just the way it is. And they're trying to be more what we do, is to help us stay well to begin with in a fun environment. So they are very excited to be in the center of Belvedere. It is a family medicine. There are experts in geriatrics there, but there are also people there that you can bring a newborn or any age in between is welcome at the Sentara Family Medicine. That's part of the multi-generational component. We talked about the volunteer program, the Greenberry Sentara. If you haven't been up in the Belvedere neighborhood, I encourage you to drive up in there and drive up beyond the center of Belvedere. It's a very pretty neighborhood. Fairview Swim and Tennis Club is there. Soccer is just begun building an indoor soccer complex for youth and adult soccer right up at the north end of Belvedere. So it becomes a very multi-generational neighborhood. It's a very active, vibrant neighborhood, and it's full. Everything has sidewalks and crosswalks, unlike most Albemarle County developments and neighborhoods. So it's also a very pedestrian-friendly area. Our friends at Northfields and Dunlora and Carsbrook all come into Belvedere to walk, stroll with their strollers, bicycle, run, because it's a very pedestrian-friendly area. It's also a very environmentally friendly neighborhood. To build there, you actually have to build to certain environmental standards. The center will have a solar array, for example. We'll have a partnership with Sun Tribe, so about half of our power will be delivered through solar power, which we feel is the right thing to do environmentally. Environmental wellness is part of that wellness wheel. If you don't have a healthy environment, it's kind of hard to live and age well, and solar power is cleaner. It also will save money for the center over time, the more money we can put back into our programs. Make sure I press the right button this time. So the center, when you get there, when we open next month, I think you'll experience a lot of things. One of them, I was just there touring with some folks today and doing some last-minute inspections with people. It was a little challenging because at the same time they were doing all the fire inspections, so we were having fire drills every minute for about a half an hour, which they're loud. They work. There are two elevators in the center for people who want or need to use elevators, but there's three staircases, including one that we call the grand staircase. When you first come in, there's a very nice grand staircase. It's wood, it's beautiful, it's inviting, and encourages those who can use stairs safely to kind of use them because it's a good way to be physically active. But all those and the two fire exit stairways that are more like our current stairways have deeper treads, which will help you prevent you from missing a tread a little bit. And the risers are shorter, make it easier for you to be able to go up and down the stairs. And I didn't even notice this myself until a woman who was touring once, because we can't use the grand staircase right now for reasons that aren't pertinent, so we use the fire exits. There's actually three levels of railings to hold on to. And our architects planned that. I don't even remember being part of that conversation, but the woman pointed out, she goes, oh, this is so great, because she wanted to use the stairs, actually had to, because the elevators are not inspected yet. And she's got shoulder issues, and she can't reach the higher and do that. But the lower railing, she could do it and comfortably be able to use the stairs safely. So there's a lot of those types of things in it. The parking lot is curbless. So for people, we have a lot of folks that don't necessarily have handicap parking and use a walker or wheelchair, but have a hard time stepping up and over a curb throughout the parking lot. So our parking lot is curbless, makes it a lot easier. There's actually sidewalks in our parking lot. So when you park, you can walk right onto a sidewalk and walk through instead of having to walk through the lanes of cars moving everywhere as you do here and pretty much every parking lot in the area. So there's a lot of age-friendly design that I think you'll enjoy. One of the core design features of the new center, and one of my longtime friends and colleagues, Beth, is here, and she always talks about this space, the cafetorium. You know, the space that, like at the elementary school, it's the cafeteria, it's the auditorium, it's you do everything in it. And that's what this space is. You can do almost anything in this room. And it's designed properly for absolutely nothing. Because the acoustics are hard, with a hard ceiling and a high, hard floor and a high ceiling, and often, as you've experienced here, I'm sure, if you're here on a Tuesday morning trying to have a lecture next door and there's a 65-piece band in here, we love our band, but it is a little difficult to do much more when they're playing in here. This is where we do most of our exercise programs, on a linoleum floor and a concrete slab. It's one of the first reasons we realized we needed a center, because people didn't come to Tai Chi because it was causing hip and back injuries exercising on this rock-hard floor. It's hard at my age. It's hard at any age. So we fundamentally have problems in this building that were pointed out by you and many of our friends and neighbors over the time. So the new center, one of the core fundamental design features, is the rooms are designed for their primary use. So we have classrooms similar to the boardroom upstairs if you've been in there. Soft floor, low ceiling, and there's quieter programming going on upstairs. But instead of just one classroom, we have seven or eight designed for anywhere from 10 to 20 to 40 to 80 people, depending on what size program you're having. And we can do multiple ones at the same time. So if there's multiple learning, we don't have to then move down into these big rooms where we have most of our learning today. We have group exercise rooms that have proper sprung dance floors and barbs and mirrors. But all those rooms can also be used for multiple things. Our classrooms can also have games in them. Our auditorium has a flat floor without permanent seating, so it's designed first and foremost for the performing arts. But you can also have a bridge tournament, or a dance, or a concert, or a large lecture, or a gala, or our volunteer recognition reception, or 100 other things. So all of it you'll experience is much better designed in that way. You'll see, I think in some of the pictures I show here, a little bit abundant natural light. This building has it very nicely in some rooms and very poorly in others. Pedestrian-friendly parking lot, I talked about solar, I mentioned welcoming gathering spaces. I know I have some renderings and pictures of that that I'll talk about. More space for collaboration with nonprofits. I will expand on that a little bit while I think about it. Our classrooms, they're in two different parts of the building, but most of them are in one wing on the second floor. And there's the gallery lounge in the middle of them, and there's, well, one, two, three, four, five different classrooms and conference rooms up there. As we designed that to meet the needs of our mission and wanting to have social space throughout the building that we'll continue to talk about and show, our architect, Jeff Dreisifs, we were trying to figure out how to do the design and the layout and the furniture and different things. I won't go into all of it, but it was actually a real sticking point for a while. And Jeff Dreisifs, our local architect, said, well, would you ever use this space as a little mini conference center? And immediately I'm like, yes, we could, because it's almost designed as that already with a couple of different breakout rooms and a little social space in the middle. We haven't planned that. That's not our mission, but we create a space that then becomes a nice little mini conference center at a very affordable rate, unlike the local hotels. And sure enough, literacy volunteers at Charles Flowmarle is doing a literacy conference at the center of Belvedere on a Saturday this summer. Because of us designing it for our purpose, it becomes a really, really cool community space. Outdoor areas will show a little bit more. Facility rental, we just mentioned a little bit with that. The auditorium is going to be a very nice space for galas. It can accommodate 250 people seated. It becomes a very nice place for nonprofits to rent. If you want to have a wedding reception or a 60th birthday party or a 60th wedding anniversary or any number of things, it becomes a really very nice party hall as well. And then we talked about Centerra. This is a little bit, just a little bit of kind of what the center, the impact too. I mentioned a few of these, $113,000 of donated space. 93% of members say their minds are stimulated by center programs. That's a key to healthy aging. 87 of our 100 programs are led by volunteer program leaders. Over 1,100 philanthropists help support the center. 90% of members who attribute a more 90% of members attribute a more positive outlook to participation at the center. That's a pretty remarkable number. There's actually a real neat body of research that maybe you can find an expert to talk about more, that resiliency is actually one of the biggest keys to aging well. And if you think about it more, I'll bet you can relate to that, because I will guarantee that everybody in this room has proven to be resilient at different phases of their lives, and we have to do that more as we lose loved ones, sometimes lose a little bit of our physical and intellectual ability. Society shoves us to the side a lot more as we grow older. What do we do with those things? It's that resiliency that is really critical to how we continue to rebound and live a healthy, active life. And if the center is helping support people to have a positive outlook on life, then we're really meeting our mission. So I'm really proud of that one. If I just keep my thumb on the right button, Jim, I think I'll be okay. So some of what the center will have, and we'll get to pictures here in a minute. We talked about the exercise studios. We have two group exercise studios. They're smaller than most exercise studios in town because our users like smaller exercise classes. When we were going through the program process, if you've ever designed a building, you don't start and say, let's build 60,000 square feet. How do we fill it? You start by literally a blank piece of paper and a architect who says, what do you want to achieve? And we say, we want group exercise. Well, what type of group exercise? Is it Tai Chi that's standing still, or is it line dancing that's covering a lot of ground? How many people do you want in your classroom? 50? Well, no, we want our people want smaller classes. So our exercise rooms are designed to be smaller because our people like smaller classes because they feel like they get more attention from the teacher and they feel safer that they're not going to get lost in the back of the room trying to keep up with an instructor. So that's the kind of process that we've gone through that, again, is more age-friendly. Classrooms and conference rooms, we mentioned, the Performing Arts Auditorium I just touched on. I'll examine it, expand on that a little bit. It is about 380 seats auditorium style. Performance style, so in rows of chairs like this, which is a nice size. It's a really lacking size in our community. If you can't fill JPJ with your event or the pavilion or the Paramount, we're a very nice place for smaller performances. There's a proper green space and green room in the back, storage space. There's a wheelchair lift to get up on the stage, unlike our stage in the room next door. And the stage is big enough for our 60-piece band, so that gives you a sense of how big the stage is as well. That's a game-changing difference for our community. Volunteer Center, we talked about our volunteer program. We were founded by volunteers. We're run by volunteers. Even with the expansion of our staff, we're going to have about 20 paid staff. We have about 400 volunteers. Even us history majors can do the math to understand how things really get done around here. It's driven by our volunteers. And before I take the question, I'll just amplify this a little bit. Currently, if you're not aware, behind Jim, behind that little door back there, is our volunteer center. Did you know that? It's a closet. It's almost as big as this podium. And we run a volunteer program out of that. And I joke, but it's pretty sad, actually. So being able to have a proper volunteer center on the second floor with a very prominent space for Bobby and our volunteers to work and secure their items and do conference and do training and whatnot will be very game-changing for the community. And then we have a very active travel program. It's right down the hall. But when you come into the new center, it'll also be very active right there as soon as you walk in for your travel needs. We also have an art studio. The visual arts are an important part for a lot of our people. We have a much nicer and larger art studio with proper space for doing crafts, art, wood carving, and actually allowing your watercolor to dry before the end of class. Game room, we still play a lot of games. We often say it's more than fun and games here, but if it wasn't fun, Why would you come? And games are a very great way to encourage people to socially engage and to use your mind. Outdoor space, we've talked about some of those already. How many folks know where Belvedere is? Almost everybody. Good. 10 years ago, I must say, people in Belvedere, they hadn't heard of it, but it's a growing neighborhood. It's beautiful. There's a lot happening up there, very nice architecture. When we were looking for land 8, 9, 10 years ago, we looked at property up on Airport Road. We looked at property downtown. We looked at property on Main Street. We looked at the old Coca-Cola building, the old Martha Jeff building, the Ix building. We looked on Pantops Mountain. We looked. Beth was ran that for us. But we always thought, based on the demographics, that we wanted to be more or less in this northern urban ring, and we wanted to be accessible. So finding that property that's only about a mile and a half from here, about a mile and a half from 29, and about a mile and a half from the bypass is really exciting to us. Very easy access, and we have designed it for the bus come right to our front door. And we've been doing tours up there periodically. I've been pleased with how many people have walked to it from Dunlora and Northfields and other places. So it is, you don't always think of Rio Road necessarily being that walking friendly because you don't see a lot of walkers, but people do use it, and there are plans to do some improvement. There is one development that was approved a few weeks ago that will actually fill out some of the pedestrian friendliness from Rio Road down to our property. There's an incomplete section that will now be paid for by the developer. So that you probably have seen, that's a rendering from a bit of a bird's eye view that we created several years ago. You see the cat bus, it's actually even the cat bus right at the front door. You can see the sidewalks through the parking lot. The bottom left there is actually room for phase two, there's room to expand. You see the solar panels on the roof, that's pretty accurate. And that rendering is remarkably accurate as far as the color of the wood siding, the aluminum siding on the front, that front patio that has louvers to help create a little bit of a living room space there. That becomes a very nice, there'll be benches and cafe tables out there. That can be a very nice place. My mother-in-law, every time I'm out there, she would have just loved, because late in her life, she, early dementia, hard of hearing, hard of sight, prone to seizures, she had more than her share, but she loved watching the world go by. She would have sat up there and she would have talked to everybody. She would have known everything about your family and where you came from. She would have loved sitting out there, and she was fearless about 50 degrees or 100 degrees. She would always be outside there. And I know she's not the only person like that. It's going to be a really nice place for people to be able to socialize. And that is about 3 weeks ago from about the same vision from our owner's rep drone. So the wood siding hasn't been fully put on there. The parking lot still needed some work. But you see the solar panels up there, and that's pretty much those yellow on the roof there. People have asked a lot about those because when you drive by, there's all these yellow fencing around the roof. That is being taken down as we speak. That was up there for safety for the solar installer folk. So you won't see that any longer, I think, by the end of today even. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Before I answer your question, and I kept going, please.
Here.
Thank you.
Do you have sufficient parking spaces for the 380 people that might be coming to a performance?
Yes, thank you. So there's 245 parking spaces, I think, to give you a sample. We have about 106 here. So 2.5 times. So that's assuming that a fair amount of people will come, two per car. So what'll happen, and we know this because people then ask, like, well, then if the whole parking lot's filling the auditorium, what happens with the rest of the center? When we have and are expecting 300 or 400 people in the auditorium, we will not program as much of other things. And we won't program if we're having a lot of other activities in the building and somebody wants to do a 400-person, 250-person lunch on a Wednesday, we just won't do it. Our hours, to be more specific, will be open Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., Friday, Saturday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday, 1 to 5. So Friday and Saturday, we'll close at 5 o'clock. Our biggest events, we expect, will be on Friday and Saturday nights when we won't have other things going on. So the parking lot's not designed to have 300 people in the auditorium, 100 people in the classrooms, 50 people. You couldn't build a parking garage. You couldn't justify building a parking garage bigger enough for that. Thank you, and thank you for reminding me of missing that question. This is a rendering, again, pretty active. This is more your pedestrian eye view of what you would walk up to. That's a little bit of a reality of the, what the siding, and that's actually one of the big conference rooms on the north west corner of the building. Gives you a big view of some of how the light works. This, again, is a rendering, and this is also very active, accurate other than the landscaping. That hillside is actually very steep. It's not something you will walk up and down. Like the people down here in the bottom left, or pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. But the part... Laser. Let's see if I can laser. I'll just talk about it. This is my laser fingers not working. Where you see most of those people there on that green lawn area, we're calling that the center green or just the green around that hardscape where people are, that is all very realistic. That area will be sodded. It will be open. You can do Tai Chi or exercise out there. You can play around with the grandchildren. I more than once said if the grandchildren are here, they can roll around in the grass. Somebody said, can I roll around in the grass with them? Absolutely. You know, walk your dog, there's benches out there, and all of that hardscape you see, that sidewalk there, is all ADA accessible. So for walker, wheelchair, or somebody's just a little less mobile, that's designed for you to be able to walk around the outside of the building and come to that green area where we will, again, mostly it will not be programmed, but, you know, if you want to do a barbecue, you can do a barbecue outside, and you can do it without a tent, or you can put a tent there either for our own programs or, again, for rental programs. So it becomes, and then that whole area that's a little shaded there is what we call the terrace or the back terrace. That will also have benches, patio tables, and chairs, and a couple of rocking chairs. So it becomes another social space back there. You see in the far right there in the middle, there's one tree and a little alcove there. There'll be a couple of benches there. So earlier, and I said I'd talk more, there's all these little nooks and crannies outside depending on how much sun you do or don't want, how warm it is, whether you want to be in the center of attention like my mother-in-law, or whether you want a quieter space to have a cup of tea and a conversation, whatever it may be, the idea is to create a lot of different options. And, you know, for me, and when you there are times where I want to be in the center of everything. I want to see everybody coming and going. I want to say hello to you. There are other times like, I want a little quieter space right now, and I don't want to have to go home. I just need 15 minutes, you know, to sit quietly and, you know, read or talk to a friend. So the whole outdoor and indoor space you'll see in a minute is designed to have a lot of different nooks and crannies for you to enjoy. So that, we're actually backtracking, and for those who read the promo that said we were going to show a video, we decided not to show the video. The video we had that shows the 16 months of construction in 5 minutes is really hard to watch. It's really just staticky, it's kind of like MTV at its worst, if you remember MTV. And we just realized it's not a very good message, unfortunately, to show. So we decided not to do that, but we did want to take back, that's the property from the backyard with the footprint of the building there in the kind of middle, lower right, as it looked just about a year ago when we had started doing site work but hadn't started building vertically. Those apartments, that's the reserve at Belvedere. As you look a little bit farther, that's facing north. The reserve at Belvedere's apartments owned by Rip Cathcart. He's a local businessman, very supportive. He made a very, very nice gift to the center, and he does not need it. He's at 99.9% occupancy there 365 days a year. They're extraordinarily popular apartments. He does not need us to be there for him to succeed. He just believes in the community building. He was a big supporter of the YMCA, too. He was on the board, and the need for places for community to celebrate community. You can't do that at home very well. We need to plan places like this. So he's been a very good friend. And that's a little later on, looking straight down at the building site. There is that storm detention pond on the top there. That's actually now looking south from the north backwards. That's a man-made detention pond. It's not going to be a recreation. We're not going to stock fish. You're not going to swim there. You're not even going to want your dog to swim there. It's a detention pond. But it does create a little bit of a water amenity. And even now, it's a very nice backyard. See, I talk dog and I talk barkyard. Backyard setting, and when the trees grow out for about 6 or 7 months of the year, it's a very nice park-like setting where you can't see any houses or apartments or anything back there. It's a really very, very pretty, quiet setting. We were there again at 12, 11, 12, 1 o'clock today in the backyard, and all you could hear is the birds. I mean, I'm like, I'm ready for Greenberries to open, and I want to sit here and have a cappuccino and enjoy the world. Hey, there's some solar panels. So there's a little bit of a difference. That's a pretty current shot, and it shows some of that backyard area coming together as well. So you can see we pretty much filled every corner where you don't see solar panels. That's where the heating and air conditioning units are, which we do need to have. And we did not want them on the ground because even the new ones are loud and, you know, kind of disturb the peace and quiet in the back. So that is a rendering of the indoor, actually looking from the backyard back towards the front. So what you see in the middle there is actually the front door where you would be coming in. And that rendering, I will say, is very accurate from a standpoint of the openness. Do not pay attention to the light fixtures on the top. Those were early concepts, and absolutely don't look anything like that. We made it in a much better place. It is not going to be white furniture. That's another one everybody always asks, please, what are you thinking putting all that white furniture in a popular public place? The furniture will have different patterns and colors. It's very contemporary, though. And the staircase is actually wood instead of what there is cement. But otherwise, that welcome desk in the lower left, that is real. That's exactly what it looks like. It's much more open. There are two different heights, one for people who are standing, one who somebody might be in a wheelchair. You can actually be right at site to work with customers there. It creates a lot more space for our volunteers and staff to be more welcoming and provide customer service. And what you see, again, is a lot of these nooks and crannies inside. So the plus sip and plus play, we decided not to do that. That was part of a branding program that we decided didn't work as well as we thought it would. But the plus play is the game room. The plus sip is where the Greenberries is. And what you see is an open floor plan there. And that is very real. That's exactly what you'll experience when we open next month. You'll see a couple cafe tables there in the window. There's a couple more in the cafe. In the bottom right there around the stairs are some other cafe tables that are twos and fours that you can put together for a larger group. But it becomes a little bit more secluded than the cafe seating, again, depending on what level of excitement and engagement with the coming and going that you may want. And then in the lower left, it's not white furniture, but it is soft seating furniture. There's easy chairs, a couple love seats, and a carpeted section, so it becomes a little bit more of a living room feel. Or if you go to perhaps the Mud House down on the mall, you know, creates a different, so there's a couple of different coffee shop feels in one building, depending on what you want to experience on a given day. How does that feel to people when you see that? See a couple nodding heads? Fortunately, all up and down. Good. We are really excited about this space. I'm sorry to dwell on it, but I also, I was just in the building, and it is almost done. It is coming together beautifully, and it's just like, it is so exciting that this is happening, because for years I was resistant to saying that this is a radically different or a transformationally different or any of that kind of language, because I thought that was a little too much for me to say that based on three-dimensional drawings that may or may not happen, frankly. There's a long time we weren't sure it was going to because we needed to raise the funds. But we have now toured several hundred people through the building, stakeholders, volunteer staff, some of our donors, folks that we hope will become donors to close the gap in the campaign. And the energy that people get out of what they're experiencing and the opportunities for partnerships in the programs and the excitement about it being a more contemporary, sunlit, beautiful space with all these different nooks and crannies and better design space for the arts and fitness and everything else that we do. And the energy people have, whether it's been people who, like Randy Reinhardt, who many of you probably know, lifelong resident, custom home builder, was on the board, helped to select the site, has been involved with the design, heavily involved for 10 years. And then we had somebody come in from the university who knew nothing about us, but one of our board members invited to come look at it, and everywhere in between. And they're all getting the same response about how exciting this is and how game-changing as one person said, I'm like, that is actually the language that I am now not too shy to use because of what community response is. This will be a game-changing place because it is going to be so much more warmer and inviting. And so much of the center today is about coming for programs, right? You look at your calendar, I'm going to come to this program. And that's great. It's worked for our community for 28-plus years. But we have more and more people just want to come and not be home alone. And we don't, we've refitted this room some with the DeLauder Library and the cafe and a little bit, but we've been working around the edges trying to create that. This creates a space where it's like, I just want to go to the center and see what's happening today. Or if I come for my morning exercise and that's done at 10:30 and I'm like, well, there's another program at noon. If I go home, I won't come back. Hang out. There's a place for you to do that. Get a bite to eat, see a few new friends. That's a very, very much a design, a mindful part of the design. Darn it, Jim, I did it again. Rattlesnakes. Time for a question. Yes, thank you. Yeah, if you can hold, yeah, because we do have podcasts, so we do try to record the question too. Thank you. Yeah, so we do have our table tennis, ping pong tables, and the auditorium will be a good room for that, or the group exercise rooms to be able to set that up. We do not have a billiard room. Berta, we're not done with the slideshow. I'm still showing a few pictures. I'm sorry. I just pushed the wrong button for a second. Thank you. Sorry. So we do not have a billiard table or billiard room. We looked at that. There wasn't a lot of demand for that, and that gets back the challenge of, once you have a billiard room, you can't do anything else there. You can't just move the billiard table back and forth. So we really decided that the opportunity for flexibility is more important. I'm sorry, did you say there were some other questions? Yes.
Oh, thanks, Peter. This has been great. I don't know whether you were going to get to this, but what is your anticipated start date?
Yes, yeah, so since that, I think it's there, but I'll go ahead and mention it right now. We are scheduled to close this building on March 20th, which is now next Friday. We'll be closed for 2 weeks because it is a big job to move this center over there, get all of our volunteers and staff trained, and make sure we're ready for opening. We are planning on opening April 6th, which is Monday, 3 weeks from now. And then we are slated to have our grand opening on April 18th. So the idea is you won't see in the Daily Progress opening April 6th. The grand opening is where we invite the whole public April 18th. But you will see in the center's newsletter that our programs will start back again April 6th. So for 2 weeks, we will function in the new center for our core audience, providing our core programs, and we'll grow from there.
Okay, Peter, so just to be clear, our next meeting is April 8th.
At the new center.
At the new center. Thank you.
Yes, and as I was telling someone earlier, our design and construction team are crackerjack. If you're ever looking for somebody to build a new $24 million building, I've got a great team of people to do it. I am thrilled with what they have done. It's a beautiful building. They're delivering it ahead of schedule and under budget by several hundred thousand dollars. This is a remarkable accomplishment in our world, and it's a tribute to all of the stakeholders that made it happen. They are always careful to say, I cannot guarantee delivery because it could still snow 2 feet and everything shuts down. We have this little public health issue. We don't think it's going to impact our schedule, but, powers beyond me might. There's several different county and state the health department needs to approve it, the fire department has to approve it, all these people have to approve it, which I 100% support, but they can throw some curveballs at you at the last minute. All that said, our design team says, I have never been more confident of delivering a program for you on time as we are with this project. And we have some cushion built into that because of things like our friends like you wanting to make sure we don't miss a couple days. This is our auditorium. I'm sorry, this is where the senior statesmen will meet. Doesn't it look great? So this is a couple weeks old, but you do see the stage on the right. So it is a proper elevated stage. Again, there is a wheelchair lift. You can get the sense of the size. It has proper lighting. The auditorium is designed for the proper acoustics for the performing arts and lectures. This room was not built for that. It was built for everything and anything. And the acoustics just aren't very good. We've just done the best we can over the years. But this auditorium is designed with the proper acoustics and proper sound for you all. We actually will have a proper drop-down screen that is probably, I don't even know how much. My TV is still only about 24 inches. So these ideas how big these screens are is very beyond me. But it is a very large projection screen that will just drop down at the flick of a switch. So for things like Senior Statesman, people can just plug and play, and it'll all happen much easier for Jim and others. So that is very game-changing. Those windows you see, again, when you have something that you want a lot of that abundant natural light, you get much better abundant natural light in the auditorium. But they're also darkening curtains. I won't say blackout because that would cost a fortune and is not really necessary, but they darken heavily. Again, with just a flick of the switch, you can lower those to have a darker room for programs like this. That's actually our equipped fitness room. Again, a lot of abundant natural light looking out through the backyard. You see a rubberized floor there, which is easier for the group exercise, for the equipped fitness room. That will have looking out that window will be treadmills, bikes, for coming bikes, rowers and whatnot, cardio machines. And behind, where you can't see, will be a suite of equipped fitness for strength training. And it's really, it is this best top-of-the-line fitness equipment that's particularly age-friendly. Two things I particularly love about it. One, it's easy to transfer on or off of it, which is a big issue for a lot of older adults. You don't have to climb over things. You can slide in and off. And the thing that I think is really neat, too, is for weight resistance, all you do if you want to have it set for 20 pounds and you want 30 pounds, you press a button. So for folks who are used to pulling pins and stacks of weights and all of that, that can be difficult if you have arthritis or if you're nervous about getting your finger caught or any number of other things, you don't have to deal with any of that. You just push a button. So it's really, really nice equipment. Our friends at ACAC helped us pick out the line and paid for all of it. Wow. Yeah, and on top of a big cash gift, too. On top of, yeah. Our friends at ACAC have been very, very good to us. This is actually the gallery. These are all the classrooms to the left, and there's some to the right. The little area that's carpeted in the middle there is actually will be some more soft seating. So, again, when I was talking about the conference center, you can have your bagels and coffee there in the morning, sandwiches in the afternoon. There's a little bit of different light fixtures up there and a little bit of acoustic treatments. All that space also is the reason we call it the gallery. You don't see it yet. Well, you see the track lighting there, I think, from the ceiling that you can direct. There will be also proper art rails throughout there. It'll be every bit as nice as a nice museum space as far as lighting and art rails go to be able to display our artist's work and community art displays. So you can have your nice little wine and cheese reception there when the artist puts up their new show as well. And you have proper depth perception to look at the art, because it's designed for that. Unlike if you've never known, we have artwork up on the second floor. The second floor is 44 inches. The hallway is 44 inches wide. It's about this. In addition to not being pedestrian friendly, you can't look at the artwork very well. We have beautiful artwork down here, but it's often hard to look at because there's a lot of hustle and bustle here. So this becomes a very nicer space for our visual arts. This is actually the larger conference room. Earlier I showed a room from the outside. This is from the inside with this abundant natural light. Carpeted floors. All these light fixtures here can be up and or down lit. So depending on what you want, again, if you're having something like this where you want to have a little bit of light, you can uplight but not have the down light so you can be able to see something like this. Or if you want it fully lit, you can lit the whole space up. We also have that in the group exercise room. So if you're doing a meditation or a yoga program, and for anybody who does yoga, you know corpse pose, which is often how a practice ends, where it's pretty much what it sounds like. You lay down like a corpse, and you really just melt into the floor. And if you've got lights above you that are shining down into your eyes at the end of that, it don't work very well. So we can have a lot more flexibility for what we want to be able to do is built into the space. There's your grand staircase, looking out over the backyard. some of the landscaping. That shows, again, the curbless parking lot, the sidewalks, and there is that nice swale throughout it. There is a lot of trees and landscaping throughout the property. Membership options, and while I think, I'm sorry, there's a question. Go ahead.
Yes, what kind of trees are you putting into the landscape?
Native, non-invasive, hardy. Exactly the types I don't have in front of me. We have a very good landscape architect, Ann Prey, who learned her chops with Nelson Bird Woltz. If people know Nelson Bird Woltz, the local landscape architect company, they got the contract to build the memorial in Pennsylvania for the 9/11 victims. So you get a sense of, I mean, that was a highly sought-after job. So they're a high-class, very effective landscape architect. We didn't hire them and work for them. She now has her own company. We couldn't afford a Nelson Bird Woltz. I have all the of what's in there and be happy to show that to you. I was actually thinking about it today that we need to get that list now that trees are in place to tell people exactly what's there. But importantly, native, non-invasive, and hardy. Any follow-up to that, or do you were looking for exactly what's in
it? That was basically the question
Okay.
I had.
Okay.
I'm a tree steward.
Oh, good. Thank you for that. Well, we'll be looking for help for to manage our trees. Thank you. Yes. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me get wait for the microphone.
Go ahead. Take it down.
How about a sign out there where plants and trees are?
That's what I was just going to say. When you walk up that Monticello Trail, they have little plaques, and it actually identifies a lot of the trees, which is really, really helpful.
And we don't have that in phase one, but we'll certainly look at being able to do that. It's a good suggestion. That's why I'm writing notes. Membership options. I'm sorry, Berta.
This was a terrific presentation, Peter. I have only a couple of questions, if I might. I think that the representation of the people in the meeting room in the hallway, I didn't see me there. I saw a diverse population, and I'm really glad about that. But I didn't see any old people.
Oh, there's some people there with walkers, very specifically.
Well, I guess I didn't see them because I'm so old and my vision isn't that good.
No comment.
But I think that's it. And the other comment is it has been a real a partnership between the center and Senior Statesmen, because while the center has provided meeting rooms wonderfully for years, we also at Senior Statesmen contribute to the center.
Yes.
In dollars as well as showing up. And we thank you.
Well, thank you. So I do want to touch on membership some, because we are changing our model significantly. And while I think about it, Judy Gardner, is here to answer questions afterwards about anything, including membership, particularly membership, actually anything and everything. She knows more about what's happening day to day here than I ever will. We have simplified our membership. For those who know today, we have a membership, but then you pay an additional fee for a lot of our group exercise, for the band, for singing. And so we took the opportunity with the Change Center to streamline it into two basic memberships, two forms of membership. So one is a basic membership or a standard membership that will be $180 a year, which is $15 a month, Judy? $15 a month, and you can pay monthly. You can talk to Judy about setting it up with your bank account or your Visa or whatnot. But what of that, and that will include most of what you would get today, the access to our free programs, our games, and a lot of what happens. But then you can get a Prime membership, which is $480 a year, which, again, you can also pay monthly. And what that allows you to be able to do is, instead of paying additional for Tai Chi once a month, water aerobics at ACAC, which you can do, a yoga program, an extra semester for the band, you pay a little bit more to be in the Bells group. Instead of doing all that, which all of a sudden you can actually be spending $1,000 or more for membership and programs at the center, which is more expensive than an ACAC, now you can do for $480, you can do all those different things. And we think it's going to be a lot better for a couple reasons. One, the reason that was really attracted to me when the group that worked on this, which included members and staff and board and community members, was so much of what the center is about is to encourage you to try new things. The world is your oyster. You never played music before? Try to be in the band. You never been ballroom dance? Give it a try. You don't know what Tai Chi is about? You hear it's good for your balance, which it is. give it a try. That's so much of what we're about. But when you look at the program and say it's going to cost me another $32 to do that program for a month, that might be a barrier for me. But if I'm already Prime membership to do that program and I can just go do something else at no extra cost, it's going to encourage me to do that, and it might encourage people to do a lot of different things. So I think that's really neat. It's also a lot simpler for your bookkeeping and ours, frankly, which is not a minor matter. If we don't spend staff time on bookkeeping, we can put it into programming. So those are our two new memberships, and then we do have, we've added a charter or lifetime membership for $5,000. You get a Prime membership for the rest of your life. So depending on what you're thinking, that's about, I think, 6.7 years or something. If you think you're going to outlive 7 years, it's actually a bargain, and then you're going to be living high on the hog for the rest of your lifetime. Yes?
Peter, my concern, I know that Berto mentioned the age diversity. I'm concerned about diversity across the board. Are you hearing me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm concerned about diversity across the board as to your location and also your prices. Are you guys doing significant outreach to enhance improve that?
Yes, we are. So if you're interested in getting more detail than I can provide in a short time, Judy is actually our staff point person on that arena as well. So, again, we have scholarships that are honor system. Those will continue to be available for people. We are actually have started an endowed scholarship fund named in memory of Ralph File, who was an active center volunteer leader when he passed away a year or so ago. And we're accepting donations to the File Scholarship Fund. It's up to around $80,000. So that's part of how we want to make sure we continue to provide financial accessibility for people. And the others, make sure, again, CAT and everything else, so the people who are dependent on public transportation can get to the center easily. So some of the things we've done in the infrastructure of it. And then we have extraordinary outreach happening, and have actually, I feel, and I've said this and happy to say it again, in the last year and a half or so, I think we've made more progress in racial diversity outreach than we've done in the 18 years previously that I've been here. And that's because we've worked on it. And we're doing it kind of one person at a time. Judy and some other volunteers engaged one individual who said that she would do a little bit more. She engaged Reverend Lehman Dr. Bates at Ebenezer Baptist Church, who gave us a very due diligence about whether we were serious about partnering and helping build bridges, and has been very active in doing that and is now putting his reputation online to go out for people. We have several other people and faith organizations and nonprofits that we are working with to be more proactive in that, bringing ourselves out into the community, as well as trying to make sure that to the best of our ability, people feel welcome here, regardless of their social ability, their economic ability, their age, and that's not necessarily 50 or 100, but whether you're a Boston Marathon runner like one of our members is, or whether you're using a walker and have early dementia with hard of hearing and hard of sight like my mother-in-law was. So, yes, there's a lot that we're doing along those lines, showing up at West Haven Community Day festivals, on and on and on and on. And if you want to get involved with that, we have a lovely diversity inclusion task force that is working very hard to help work on that. I could fill a lot more time, but I do want to, because I've actually been a little wordier than I thought. This is a list of some of the new programs that are starting in April. You see a lot of fitness because we do have enhanced fitness spaces. And because we have enhanced fitness spaces, we actually now have a fitness coordinator. We've had program staff interested in fitness and have done a very good job over the years because we have a very robust fitness program today. But without the proper space, we've never been able to justify hiring and creating a position which we now today have today, Alex Waltrip, who has an exercise physiology degree and personal training certification and whatnot, too. So we'll be significantly ramping up our physical wellness programming. You see a lot of those. You see a lot of other fun things. We have a gentleman who's a center member who lives in Belvedere who's going to lead a biking around Belvedere program if you'd like to bicycle. He's also going to be leading the sports talk program and a new current affairs program. There's something called the Charlottesville History Club that started about a year ago that's been meeting in various places. They'll be moving their programs to our center because we do have that proper space for things. And if you don't know what La Blast is, look it up online and check out the videos. This is one of the fun things we're going to be doing Thursdays around 5, because we have that beautiful auditorium, we have the beautiful atrium, and we have the beautiful terrace on nicer day. So we're starting this April 23rd, right after the grand opening. So some of the groups I know I've asked are people working on this. Who's seen Mojo Pie? I love band names. I just like looking at band calendars to see the names these people come up with. Mojo Pie is a duo, Susan and Frank, acoustic guitar and bass, fun-filled originals, eclectic covers, rich harmonies, have you singing along with them, sponsored by friends at 20 South Productions. Real Time is another group coming. Silas Frazier on guitar, Luke Neer on panjo. Shalfa recently began a musical journey. Mix of bluegrass, folk, and country. Everything from covers of the infamous String Dusters, there's another good band name, Tony Rice and the Grateful Dead. And who's ever seen Stephanie Nacasian? This is a world-class jazz vocalist. And she's going to be performing on May 7th with Carl Kimmel. Silas Frazier's coming back. Eli Cook, who is a national touring act based in Charlottesville, plays the blues. And John Kelly is an acoustic guitar player who I saw at First Night Virginia, and he made me cry two straight songs, darn it. And he is very, very talented. So these are free and open to the community at the center, open to all ages. Event spaces, we talked about a lot, so I won't go to those. And then, because I often forget, this actually costs some money. We've come a long way. It's about a $24 million project. That is all in. That's from buying the land, designing it, carrying costs, building it, furniture, fixture, equipment. That is soup to nuts. Sometimes when people do capital projects, they just talk about the construction cost, which is their business. We just want to be very transparent. $24 million all in. We have sold this building. We will be real estate closing on April 1st to the Virginia Institute of Autism via community nonprofit that's going to be building adult programming for folks with autism and their families, particularly folks who, as they age out of the school system, will be using this building. We're very pleased that a group of adults will be learning how to be independent in this building for generations yet to come, just a different group of adults. So we really think that's pretty cool. We're selling, that's about, well, I won't say how much, but it's a significant amount of money going into the kitty. We will take some long-term loans, and we have raised over $16 million in private and a little bit of public investment to make this happen. That, to my knowledge, is an unprecedented figure in our community, and nobody has challenged that yet. Martha Jeff, UVA, and Monticello are different ball games. They've raised more. I don't know any other grassroots group that's raised so much money in our community. That, to me, is a tribute to the generosity of our community and the effectiveness of our center, frankly, and I do think humbly, even if it may not sound like it, to get the story out about how important this is for our community. That said, we are 92% of the way done, 93 maybe now. I'm a history major, but I can do the math. That says 7 or 8% short of 100. And 7 or 8% of $24 million is still a lot of money. So we are still fundraising. I'd be remiss not to say that. We do have a $250,000 challenge gift now. Any new gifts or pledges to the campaign will be matched by a very generous donor. I'd be happy to talk to you more about that after the show. Bonnie asked about this earlier. You will start seeing grand opening signs for April 18th coming up soon. Here's a lot of our grand opening sponsors. We're very pleased that the bank that is loaning this money also made a big gift to help sponsor it. Belvedere Neighborhood has made a big gift. Barton Mallow, our general contractor, has made a big gift to sponsor it. Several of our subcontractors have made big gifts to sponsor it. My wife doubled more than I thought we were going to do to sponsor this. We have a lot of good friends, corporate and individual. I know you can't read all that, but it gives you a sense of how many people are sponsoring our grand opening. And there we are. So I know I took a few questions, but if there's more now, and then I'll stick around along with Judy if there's questions for people afterwards as well. Ideas, suggestions, we're also very much feeding new program ideas, partnership ideas. Again, I'll stick around. Judy's in the back. We do have some material in the back, too, about the campaign, about membership, and about renting the hall. And my business card's back there, too, if you ever want to stay in touch and continue the conversation. Thanks for your time and attention.